Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub has a lesson on glorifying God.
To be submitted means when you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, don't make it for debate. No, just be obedient. Submission involves trust. Submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. More than ever before, politics has become a major focus in our lives. From government-mandated lockdowns to scandals and public feuds, our elected officials have taken center stage in many heated debates. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff makes an important point about political leaders in the Bible. We're finding out what the Word of God has to say about the role of government. As we dig deeper into our study in 1 Peter, Christians in Crisis. And if you missed the start of this series or would like to share one of these messages with a friend, visit bravemedia.online. But now with today's message titled, Benefits of Submission, here's Pastor Jeff.
The Bible makes clear that when Jesus is Lord, we're no longer Lord of our life, that He's in control. So the question becomes, how shall I live? And then what are the benefits to living the way that God wants me to live? Are there any benefits to that? And what we find in the Bible is that many times the things that we read about now as believers that God wants us to do are counterintuitive. They go against the grain of what our flesh would say that we should be living like. It goes against what we would want to do in our natural state. And yet, because we're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we want to reorient our lives so we're living the way that He would want. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you this morning to open up to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to begin in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And as we look at this today, there's really four areas that God is going to call us to submit and what the benefits of that is. That's right, I said the word submit. Today we're going to talk about submission. And so if you have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll go through each of these four sections one at a time. And here's the first one, verses 11 and 12. He says this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." This is his first thought on submission, who we are to submit to, and what the benefits of this submission are. And the first one is this, submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Now notice how Peter writes this. He writes, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against your soul." Now, there's those words, aliens and strangers. Aliens simply means this, that you don't belong here. This is foreign soil for the believer. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you're part of a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And this is a temporary place for you. That's what a stranger means. You're temporarily going to be here. So for the time that you're here, there's a new way to live. This new way to live is in submission to the Holy Spirit, right? Because it glorifies God, being submitted to the Holy Spirit. Here's what it means. It means now that you're a believer, you need to listen to what the Holy Spirit shows you about your life. Now listen, if I started this message saying, hey, it's four benefits of what I'm gonna tell you today. One is to glorify God. Who wants to glorify God more? Everybody, oh yeah, yeah. All right, submit to the Holy Spirit in everything. That means He gets to decide where you live, who you date, who you marry, how many kids, what you're going to do next, what the next step. He gets to choose it all. Well, I don't want to choose it all. Yes, you do. The enemy lies to you and says, if you submit to the Holy Spirit, He's going to take away all your fun. You're never going to have friends. You're never going to enjoy life. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. No. If you submit to the Holy Spirit, you will have the most full, robust, rewarding life. And it doesn't take away trials and it doesn't take away pain. But what it does do is fill you with incredible joy on the inside, knowing that you're bringing God the most glory. Amen? Submission. Isn't it great? All right. Submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Notice what he says next. You're going to love this one. Submission to civil authority silences the critic. submission to civil authority silences the critic. Notice what God says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Do you see that in your Bible? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. It doesn't say to the institutions that you deem worthy that are Christian. No. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. So what's the motivation? I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm not doing this because I agree with every decision they're making. I am for the Lord's sake and for his reputation, submitting myself to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Submit to all civil authority. How do you like that one? Now, you might think our political system's messed up, okay? Go back and study the first century. I mean, if the Caesar was walking down the road and you didn't say, Hail Caesar, you could lose your head. If you said, Jesus is Lord, you would lose your head. Caesar is Lord. He's not just a leader, he's God, right? That was the system that they lived in. And in that system, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here's what Peter says, submit to every human institution. Submit. Let them lead. Now, how can I let a government system that I know is broken lead? Because I'm entrusted to one higher than that government system. I'm entrusted to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit in me, which for the Lord's sake, I am submitting to. Now, let's bring it back to modern day politics. I mean, in my lifetime, we've had different presidents that have served very, very differently. There's no possible way that in your flesh, you could love every decision that every president has made in your lifetime. It's impossible. Why do we submit? Because Jesus Christ asks us to. Because we're part of a higher kingdom and we have a higher calling. Therefore, we're called to submit. Now, this isn't the only place it says this in your Bible. If you flip back to Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says this, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Every governing authority, God's the one who has established that. God is the one, whether you realize it or not, who put those leaders in place. Therefore, submit to him. Now, I get it. We're all attorneys here. I don't have to, because that goes against God. We're going to get there. But listen to what he says in verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed themselves will receive condemnation upon themselves. Right? We are called as Christians to submit to all governing authorities. That's what we're called to do. The only exception I ever see in Scripture is if the government mandates something that goes against the Word of God. Now, you might sit there and say, well, everything they're doing goes against the Word of God. I'm saying, like, we smuggle Bibles into communist countries that don't let people have Bibles. And the governing authorities say, no, you can't. But Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. That trumps whatever the government would say. Does that make sense? But be very careful and make sure you have solid scriptural support. And even when you do, and you go against, and you have civil disobedience, and you're doing it for the Lord, then do it in such a way where you're ready to take the punishment for what you're doing too, right? Because some of us, well, I'm gonna go against the government, and I'm gonna form a rally, and I'm gonna form a faction, and we're gonna, if you're gonna do that for the Lord's sake, then how do you do it? You do it with all gentleness, you do it with all respect, you do it because of your conviction, and you're willing to take the punishment for what you stood up to do, because that will honor the Lord too, okay? Does that make sense? We don't like that teaching. We only like that teaching if our political candidate is in office. Then we like that teaching for the most part. But if somebody else gets elected, then we don't. I mean, you just look at our presidents, the last two presidents that we've had. Both of them have very different views of governing, different ideas as to how things should be done. And either you loved one and hated the other, or you hated one and loved the other. That's just the way that it works in terms of your own flesh. But I can tell you this, no matter who's been president since I've been a believer, I prayed for them and their wife for God to have his way with them, right? We're to pray for Governor Polis, who's in office right now, regardless of any of his convictions, because God's established him as the leader of our state. It doesn't mean we have to agree with everything. It means we're called to submit to him in everything that doesn't go against the word of God. Amen? And we're called to honor him, and we're called to love him. Does that make sense? That's how we're called to be as Christians. And if you don't like what's going on, we happen to live in a great nation where we can actually vote. Most Christians don't even vote. Vote. That's a great place to put your attention and time and effort if there's things that you disagree with. And for those of you, God may be stirring, run for office, be involved in the political process. Nothing wrong with that. But once it's established, that's established by God, and we're called to submit to that. And the reason we can do that is because we know there's a higher authority than those in charge on earth, and we're entrusting ourselves to him for whatever the outcome would be. Make sense? That's what God calls us to do. So submit to that. He says, for such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. See, here's the problem. Most Christians, we want to open our mouth and tell everybody why the government's wrong and why everything else is wrong. Sometimes if we just shut up and just do the right things and use our tongues to promote the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and I'm submitting to governing authorities because that's what Jesus would ask me to do, and I love Jesus so I can honor leadership that thinks differently than me, it would have more of an impact than just shouting and being against everybody that doesn't think just like you. Amen? That's why he says in verse 16, look at this. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves for God. See, we think freedom means I can do whatever I want whenever I want to do it. That's not what freedom is. Freedom means I'm entrusting myself to someone higher and I have freedom to serve that person who is higher. As freed up in the Lord, what that means, I have the freedom in Christ to do whatever brings Jesus Christ the most glory in my life. I have total freedom for that. I do not have freedom to go sin. I do not have freedom to go against God's word. I do not have freedom to do what I want to do just because it feels comfortable for me. I have 100% freedom to do whatever brings Jesus Christ the most glory in my life. That I have freedom to do. That you have freedom to do. So don't use your freedom to like cover up evil, meaning this, well, I'm free. I know I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. You know, I got this sin over here. That's no big deal. I know I'm saved. I'm going to. Don't use your freedom to cover things. Use your freedom to be vulnerable and transparent. Use your freedom to glorify and honor God in all things, right? That's what we're called to do. I mean, even when Jesus, do you remember when Jesus, they were kind of picking on him? I mean, this is why you silence the ignorance of foolish men. There will always be people that pick on you if you're a Christian. If you live for Jesus, there will always be people that pick on you. 100% of the time, there will. Here's how you silence them, by doing what is right and good, right? I mean, think about Jesus. Peter and Jesus were getting picked on for not paying the 2 drachma tax or whatever it was in that day. And Jesus's answer was, well, I don't have to pay it because I'm the king of the universe, but because I'm submitted to all human authority, we'll do that. Hey, Peter, go fishing. You'll find a coin in its mouth. Why don't you pay for me and for you? No big deal. It means this, render to Caesar's what's Caesar's, render to God's what's God's. Well, the taxes are too high, okay? They are. So then pay them because you're entrusting yourself to a higher power. I'm not cheating the government because I'm a Christian. I'm honoring the government because I'm a Christian. Does that make sense? That's what we're called to do. It's uncomfortable for us. It's uncomfortable. We've learned to be polarized in everything that we think and take tweets and short little statements and then hate people because of what they say. Doesn't matter. Doesn't say anywhere in here you have to like everything that's decided. You have to love everybody in such a way that you feel really warm and fuzzy inside. No, it means you honor them, right? There's a benefit. You silence your critics when you do that. Who here wants to glorify God and silence their critics? Here's what you do. You submit to the Holy Spirit and you submit to civil authority. Number three, you do this. You find that submission to any authority finds favor with God. Submission to any authority finds favor with God. Because it's almost as if the Holy Spirit knew, well, now you're talking about government, but we'll kind of slide through that one, but that's it. Because I'm an American and I'm an individual and I'll do whatever I want whenever I want it. Nobody can make me submit to anybody. And by the way, just so you know, we live in a very anti-authoritarian culture. We don't like authority over us. When we get pulled over for a speeding ticket, we don't usually thank the police officer. You know what? Maybe I was traveling too fast and endangering some of the other drivers. Thanks for reminding me of that. That's not how we think. We think, don't you have anything better to do? Maybe that's just how I think. Just being vulnerable, right? I mean, we don't like to submit to authority. We like to submit to our coaches if our coach is good and we deem them good enough. We like to submit to our teachers if we feel they're really called and they're doing well. We like to submit to those at restaurants that really have our best interests at heart and treat us kindly. But when they don't, we don't like to submit to anybody. We're individuals. You can't treat me that way. That's how we think. That's our flesh. In the Spirit, when we're submitted to the Holy Spirit, we're called to submit to any authority that finds favor with God. Now, verse 17 is really a hinge verse between what he's been talking about. Notice what he says. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We could do a whole message on this. Honor means to show preference to. Show preference to all people. show preference to all people. What would the world be like if every time every Christian met somebody else, in their heart of hearts, here's what they would be thinking. Your life's more valuable to me than my own. So I just want to make sure during the time that we have together that you feel more valued by me than I do by you. I'm here for you. I mean, what would the world be like if every Christian really lived like that? That's honoring all people. Now, all would include all. That's saved and unsaved. That means everywhere you go, every conversation you have, every person you talk to, you're going to treat them that they're more valuable than you. That's what it means to honor all people. That's the call. I mean, that's God's word. This is coming from the throne room of heaven saying, here's how I want you to live. Honor all people. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Consider people more important and look out for their interests. That's what it means to honor all people. Then he says this, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. That's the fellowship of believers. You should genuinely love them. Now, most people will give lip service to that. I love all Christians. I love them. Love them. Don't really like them, but I love them because I have to love them, right? Now, love means demonstrably showing tangibly how you love them so that they know that you love them. Like, how would they know that you love them? By your word of encouragement, by your financial gifts, by your care, by your kindness, by your thoughtfulness, by your forgiveness. How have they seen it in you? Love the brotherhood. I mean, you see how these are hard? They're not only hard, let me tell you what they are. They're impossible without the Holy Spirit in your life. Honoring all people and loving the brotherhood, impossible without Jesus. But with Jesus, all things are possible, amen? Then he says this, fear God. Fear God. Well, why are we to do that? Because God's the one telling us to honor all people and love the brotherhood, and you should be more careful about what God thinks than about what everybody else thinks. Because we grade ourselves on the curve. I mean, I can look in the mirror and give myself a good grade, even if I've had a bad day. I'll find something. Well, at least I'm better than so-and-so. My flesh can do that just like yours can. But when I align myself with the Lord and I fear the Lord and I'm asking, hey, how did I do today with you living in and through me? Did I live today the way you would have lived in and through me? My grades aren't nearly as high, right? And I'm usually asking God for more help. And I'm usually asking for forgiveness, for a way in which I handle this situation. And I'm usually asking God, don't let me repeat that one again. I see that that was wrong. Or I'm going to a person. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It means I want what God wants. I want to live this way because this is what God wants all Christians to live like. I want to love all people and honor them. I want to love the brotherhood. I want to fear God. And notice what he says, honor the king. Honor the king. Now, if you think that's hard in our day for the president of the United States, think about what it was like in the first century. And Nero was emperor at the time. You know what he did? He would dip Christians in wax and light them on fire and use them as candles at his parties. Like, so this guy you're supposed to honor as the king is somebody who's probably killed somebody that you know very personally. Maybe a family member or a friend that attended your church in a brutal, horrible way. And then blamed you and all your people for the fire that happened in Rome. And here's what God says. So honor him too. Show him preference. What? What has he ever done to earn my honor? Because God established him as king, so you honor him. Do you see how hard this is? It is impossible without the Holy Spirit, but this is what God's called us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we find favor with God. Notice what he says in verse 18. Servants, slaves, majority of the first century people that were reading this were servants or slaves, probably 80 to 90% of the people. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, okay? Students, be submissive to your teachers with all respect. Athletes, be submissive to your coaches with all respect. Employees, be submissive to all your employers with all respect. Not only to those who are good and gentle, not only to the ones that you like, not only to the ones that like you, but notice this, but also to those who are unreasonable. Unreasonable. Unreasonable, my modern day translation would be a pain in your backside. That's unreasonable. They don't get it. They don't value me. They're making things hard for me. This is difficult. Hey, honor them too. Because God's the one that's established this authority. And here's what I find in our culture as Christians. There are times where God may remove you from a situation because there's such abuse going on. And if you can establish your freedom and get under someone else's authority, then by all means do it. But there are other times I've found in my own Christian walk where I'm praying to get out of a situation. God's like, oh, no, no, no. I want you in that situation to show me honor by honoring someone that you're having a real hard time honoring, by honoring someone that's doing it the wrong way, by honoring someone that's disappointing to me. And I would love to tell you, oh, that's just been in the secular world. That's been in ministry where I've served with people who hurt people, who did a lot of bad things, who I've had sidebar conversations with and say, it's really hard to follow your leadership, and can I just show you some things? And not only has it made it harder, they've said, what I'm doing is exactly right if you want to work here. And I prayed for God, God, I want to get out of here, I want to leave. And he's like, no, you're going to stay here. And so I've told my pastor that I've worked for, hey, no matter what, I'm going to honor you with my behavior, I'm going to honor you with my lips, and I'm going to honor you with my life because you're a pastor. And I've done that, and I've been faithful in that. And I think when you do those things, then you find favor with the Lord. That's exactly what the Bible says. Notice what the next verse says. For this finds favor. Keep in mind this. When you think about your life, we live in America, so we're always thinking about what's in it for me and what's my next goal and how am I going to get there and how's this going to happen. When God looks down from heaven, who has your future, and sees that you're submissive and honoring to leadership in the place that you're at, especially when it's uncomfortable, what does he do? He gives you favor. You want more of God's grace? You want more of God's power? You want more of God opening doors for you? Submit. Here's the truth. If you can't follow, you'll never be able to lead. If you can't follow, you can't lead. Many people walk into an organization, be it a church, a business, or whatever. They get there day one and they start giving their verbal resume or their written one. Here's what I can do for you. I'm awesome. Let me show you what I can do. Right? How about this? Go clean our bathrooms for about 6 months. How about this? Go serve in children's for about 6 months. How about this? Go be part of a small group where somebody else is leading that you don't like for about 6 months. Let's see that you have the spiritual tenacity and maturity to be under someone that's different than you, that doesn't lead like you. If you can submit, I know you can lead. If you can't, I know you're going to be a pain for everybody that you rule over, right? Who can submit? Well, we don't like that because guess what? That takes time and pain, two things we don't want to give up. But you give up time and pain, God will elevate you. I mean, think about all the stories in the Bible that you like. I mean, Joseph did everything God asked him to do. He's one of the few men in the Bible that you can make a case that was moral and had moral excellence. And what happens to him? He gets thrown in prison for a period of years because he did what was right. Did God see him? God saw him in prison. God knew he was going to elevate him. And he continued to submit while he was in prison. And one day God made him number two in the nation and had his brothers come and even bow to him. You will get to where you're going through submission, not by putting people down. If you step on people to get where you're going, people will step on you later. You will reap what you sow. When you submit the Lord's way and say, okay, God, this is the situation I'm in. I'm doing it your way. I'm going to do it the way you want. And this is totally uncomfortable. It feels like a waste of time. And this is terrible. You'll learn lessons along the way that when you're in leadership, you'll do differently. Submission. You want to get to where you're going? Submit. It finds favor with God.
What an important yet often forgotten truth. The path to success isn't about finding favor with others, but finding favor with God. You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the second part of a three-part message titled Benefits of Submission. If you missed any portion of this broadcast or you'd like to share one of these messages with a friend, head over to bravemedia.online. Today we learned how submitting to authority is a critical, necessary step to obtaining leadership. It's not always easy to do what we're told, especially when we think we're the ones who should be doing the talking. But as Pastor Jeff explained today, in order to lead, you must first learn to follow. God is calling us to submit to our appointed leaders, instructors, coaches, and managers. And more important than all of these, we must submit to God. Learning to follow His lead and trust in His plan is the only way to ever get where we're meant to be. So keep listening as we continue this relevant series with Pastor Jeff titled Christians in Crisis. And for anyone listening in the Denver area, we invite you to come be part of our weekend services this Sunday at Brave Church. Make plans to join us for worship and a new message from Pastor Jeff at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. Our community is growing, and we'd love to help you get connected. If you don't live near the Denver area, you can still be part of our weekend services by joining us through our live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down, and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Or if you have a question for Pastor Jeff, maybe an encouraging comment, we would love to hear from you. Reach out by email, hello@bravechurch.co, or send a letter in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us tomorrow for the final part of Pastor Jeff's message, Benefits of Submission. That's next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.